We're live.
Can I help you?
Ew, Maya, stop.
You can hear it? You can hear it over the microphone?
What?
Yeah.
Hear what?
Maya was rubbing her eye and is like,
I got a lot of liquid in here. Hold on. It only does it on the left eye.
Stop. Stop.
I don't know why it does that.
Anyways.
All right, Kinsey, tell me your fun fact from yesterday.
I'm not going to tell that fun fact on the podcast, Kaylin.
She's frozen.
Damn.
My name's Kinsey, and my fun fact is that I played Magic.
Wait yesterday. A second. Why? We didn't do the opening. Kaylin, why'd you do that? That was Kaylin's fault.
But Kaylin just asked me to say a fun fact.
I know,
so I didn't know.
I know, but it was Kaylin's fault that she did that.
It doesn't
that.
Have to be the fun that. Fact. I just wanted to talk about it.
But you know, we start with
fun fact. It didn't have to be the fun fact.
Okay, Kaylin, you bring us in and we'll end with Kinsey.
Your
Earth
signs are fucked.
Okay.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to my channel. This week, we're currently hyperfixating. My name is Kaylin. I'm eating a burrito.
She didn't listen to anything. That's funny. Let's just have it be that for this week. Hi, my name's Kinsey, and my fun fact is I played Magic in person with strangers yesterday, and I won because they were too nice to kill me first, and they didn't realize that as soon as I knew how to play, I wasn't gonna pull back.
I wasn't nice. I was the only one that hit her ass.
My name's Mariah, and I'm recording from a disclosed location today.
You mean undisclosed?
A hotel.
I disclosed
an undisclosed location.
Before
I was just
I
thinking
ever
on my drive here today, pool. I was like, you know, obviously I love recording in person. It's ideal, but it's very fortunate that we're able to record from a distance for moments like this.
I know, because you're rich and famous and traveling the world.
Yes.
Do you see that scar on my arm, Raya?
I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hurts.
Being I have a scar on my hand because my chapstick went under the couch and I tried to get it and I cut my hand.
Oh my god.
Why do certain cuts just decide to scar?
Especially with gardening, I have a phobia of reaching my hand under like leaves and branches and like reaching my hand into something I can't see.
Yeah, that's you're never going to know what's in there.
Well, when I was a kid, I was trying to catch a frog and he jumped off the window into one of my grandma's plants and I reached my hand in there and I felt a sharp pain and I pulled it out and a giant wasp was stabbing my finger to death.
Oh my god.
Death. Kaylin doesn't have a finger now.
At least the wasp died.
No, wasps don't die from a sting. They can sting you like 100 times, dude.
Mm-hmm. What cunts.
Dude, I was traumatized. I never reached my hand into somewhere I can't see now.
Look how dirty my hair is, guys.
My hair's dirty, too.
Yesterday was supposed to be, like, the clean day. Like, I showered the day before yesterday. So, yesterday was supposed to be, like, the day my hair looked nice. I went outside for 30 minutes, and my hair was half as greasy as it is now. And I was like, are you serious? So, I should have taken a shower last night. But then I didn't because I was like, that's not fair. That's not part of my hair schedule. So, I'll be taking a shower tonight. I literally put a bandana on for work today because I looked so disgusting.
Yeah, I have to do mine, too. I think the shower here is so big, I'm going to lay on the shower when I shower. I'm going to lay there like in the dramatic movies and be like.
Dude, actually, my grandma had this giant walk-in shower when I was a kid, and so did my dad, and he still does. But my grandma had this long one, though, so I would just lay down on the floor of the shower, which I'm sure is actually disgusting when you're sharing showers with other people, whatever. But as a kid, I was like, this is amazing. So that's what I want. I can't do that in my shower, though.
I actually can't do it here because I'm 6'2", but I can sit on it. It's okay. Well, Kaylin.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I can't hear you, so I need an audible response.
My mouth was full.
You mean you can't
I
see
can't
her.
See you. That's what today's episode is going to be, is me being fucking dumb, apparently.
Yeah.
Smell breed. I mean, spell breed.
Now Kaylin's being dumb. Oh, we got some dummies.
I'm sorry. That was so funny because I sent that to June. I was like, look at this spelling error I made today and look how Kinsey responded. It was fucking hilarious.
I didn't mean to put different kinds of breads. I just saw that there were so many bread emojis. So I was like, and I did all
that's
of them.
That's what was funny about it is because I meant breed and said bread. So you sent me different breeds of bread. And I was
different breads of, yeah.
Yes. I thought it was really funny. I was like, wow, it's funny how things just work out like that. It still would have been funny just with a bunch of baguettes, too.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Mariah?
I wanted to know. I wanted to know what you're sharing with us this week, because you weren't here last week to tell the audience. I told them.
Yes. Well, we're taking a break from Pride Month because I'm sick of it. Just kidding. We are finishing up Cyberpunk because I didn't really want to start something new while, before finishing up. So maybe I'll post like a July Pride thing. I don't know.
It's okay. We didn't do like a Pride specials like we did last year. I just chose a Pride movie.
Why not keep it going? Why stop?
Because this episode's not even going to go up in June.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dumb.
Oh. I guess that makes sense.
Pride Month's over. Yeah, you're not allowed to be gay outside of June for those who are listening, so.
Then why was your episode gay?
I'm breaking up with June on the 30th, so.
Because June will be over.
Well, and leave June for July.
Yes, exactly.
Where am I July at?
What's funny is I'm sure the obsessive listener will be like, what happened to Kaylee?
Yeah. If there's anyone who actually either starts listening to it or they've been listening to it, they're probably very confused.
They are two people, by the way, guys, just so that you know this.
That's funny.
Okay. We'll leave them there.
All right, let's start the Cyberpunk podcast.
Cyberpunk.
I really just wanted you guys to finish the story. And I thought we would have more to talk about, but honestly...
Oh, well, I'll just dive right in then. My first gripe is when we watched the first five episodes... Yeah, it's high talk. When we watched the first five episodes, I was not convinced that Lucy was going to be as important as she was. I also thought that her and David's relationship was gonna like fall apart in the next episode. I thought I was gonna watch episode 6 and Lucy was gonna turn on him or something.
Really? I kind of felt like after she dropped the whole emo girl act and was really sensitive, I was like, oh, she does really like him. Now, do I think it's the craziest love story in the world? No, it feels like a very teen love story, but I could tell that she did like him and she wasn't. When that girl was chasing after them, this is before the new episodes we watched, but like when she was in the car after he got kidnapped by, I never remember any of the names, so you guys, she was really like, my man, you know, trying to in that car. And that moment, I was like, yeah, she really does like him. So
I think the lack of chemistry is what threw me off, though. You're right. Like, I felt like something was going to happen where they weren't going to be endgame.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think there was enough chemistry, but I still thought she was down for him bad. After I saw that scene, I was like, I saw everything I had to see. You peed on him. He's yours, you know.
You peed on him.
It was giving female rage, like to like territorial, like, no, this is mine.
It was a love story for those listening. This is a love story.
I think it's the kind of love story where the protagonist, aka like David, is too caught up in his own like revenge and his own like self-motivation. Like he has goals that don't align with like wife. Like, he sat there and suited him up with so much cyber shit, like it was gonna kill him. And it's
David's
like, dude,
stupid.
Should have just like got away and went to the moon and been happy. But instead he was like so obsessed with like, you know, I don't know, just getting stronger and stronger. And for what? Like, to get back at a corporation you can't beat.
I will say
there was clearly like a time skip from episode 6 to 7. Did they say how big of a time skip there was?
I can't recall if they do, but also keep in mind we're in a world where, like, I know he visibly looked very different, but it could have not been as long as, like, years, you know?
Yeah,
it could have just been the upgrades, man.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that he was super stupid, and it was, like, one of those endings to a show where, obviously, I was sad to see him go, but at the same time, I was like, you really did it to yourself, and, like, if you would have just had some more self-control. Like Mariah just said, you got to realize if you're just one person and you can't beat this corporation, what are you doing? Like, you should at least have, like, an army if you want to try. And I don't think he really had the backing to fight the people that he was, and he was really putting it all on himself, which still made him.
And it wasn't.
I think he often just needed to wait a second. Like when he was proposed with something, he just needed to be like, "Let me sleep on this."
I think like he must have just felt so like weak and useless, and especially in the situation of like his mom, there was nothing he could do. That like he just became obsessed with like getting stronger and stronger because it wasn't even a clear goal. It wasn't like, I want to get back at this corporation, because he just found himself. He stumbled into this position of being the leader of this gang, and all he was still crazy about was just getting stronger.
It's like, I felt like the story was like when you meet a person, like any partner, and like you guys have crazy chemistry, but they're in the wrong part of their life. And like our friend said, Kaylin, you see all the potential in them, and that they're a great person, they could love you, but they have these issues all going on within them, and they can't be who you want them to be. So like he goes and destroys himself over stupid ass grudges that he's holding, when he could have just been as happy just staying with Lucy and been a perfect partner for her, you know?
Mm-hmm. What do you think, like, guys? So go on.
I was just saying, like, in real life relationship terms, like you meet someone that you really like and you're like, we have great chemistry, but there's things that you're doing that are preventing this relationship from being in a happy, healthy place. Mm-hmm. And if you just stopped doing that, like, I would literally have no other problems with you. And then you have to leave them and it's sad. Or you lose them in a certain way, you know?
I was so sad when our friend told us that story. That was, like, sad as fuck. I completely agree. What did you guys feel about Rebecca?
I didn't chat what friend we're talking about.
Okay.
Oops, I didn't mark that.
What did you guys think about Rebecca being David's friend throughout the second half of the show?
Does she not have a crush on him?
Oh, she totally is, like loves and cares for David. But, like, technically, like, he friend-zoned her the whole time. Like,
there's a part where she was saying something about how he's always chasing after Lucy, and then somebody was like, well, what are you doing? And she was like, well, I tried the stoic emo look and it didn't work.
She's just not that type. Yeah, I mean, what's interesting too is, like, even at the end, she was protecting Lucy for David. Like, that's how much she cared for David. Like, honestly, in some ways, like, I think Rebecca, like, I think Lucy cared for David, and in her own, like, shadow, like, means would protect him and look out for him. But, like, Rebecca was, like, almost, like, right-hand man, like, there, and even the fact that she is, like, supportive of their relationship even up towards the end, I just feel like she's a really good character, like, a good person.
Yeah, she seemed more genuine, like, she had her head on straight about, like, the equals of, like, reality and emotions.
Well, I think Lucy, at the end of the day, had to care about her life and stuff first, and a lot of the time I felt like David was running into things in a very, like, unsafe way. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like the best way Lucy could protect him was from a shadow place to also protect her own safety, while Rebecca had obviously less care for her own physical safety. So I think she was able to be the physical supporter for David that Lucy couldn't. And that's why Lucy was doing more, like, you know, shadow stuff.
Yeah, I respect that. And I mean, it makes sense. I mean, she was really upset at how, like, fast their whole team was falling apart. And also, I think just scared to death. Like, I feel like that's a really, I like when I see characters in shows actually, like, freak out about that shit, or they give that space and that time to be like, hey, I don't really want to be a part of this, or I don't want to be going so deep into this, like, we're going to die. Like, I feel like it's a more realistic take, whereas, like, I feel like in a lot of fiction sometimes a little bit too, like, well, not too, because it depends on the flavor. Like, you know, some stuff is meant to be more like, we're going on an adventure, you know. And it's a little bit more lighthearted, but this is like
it's a dark show.
Lighthearted. If you think of, like, Mikasa, like, she would do anything for Eren. She's, I don't give a shit if I'm running into hundreds of people, I'll go kill them for you. But I think in this show, seeing Lucy be, like, more human, because Mikasa is lucky enough to have Ackerman blood, but she's not a human. But at the end of the day, Lucy is a human, and it's like, bro, I can only do so much, and you're asking too much of me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I really like both of them. I feel like Rebecca provides the show a little bit of not comedic humor. Like, she's not, like, it's not a funny or a light show, but, like, she's just got a very sunshine kind of bubbly personality, whereas, like, I'd say Lucy's more of the moon. And I feel like maybe that's why people gravitate towards Lucy being, like, their fave girl from the show. But I don't know. You guys are bringing up lots of good points about Lucy where I'm like, yeah, that's totally fair. That's a completely realistic take. I will say, though, I feel like they almost try to pitch her like a Rebecca type in the first few episodes, like a girl she wasn't, like, you know, yeah, very like crazy.
Facade on.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's just doing that to, you know, gain his trust and be interesting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think before the romantic connection, the goal was to get him to work with them, right? So it's like,
yeah,
what can we do to make this guy trust us and we can learn to trust him? So it's like, I'll be extra friendly because I want them to like me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be flirty.
She was finessing because she didn't know, like, he was even going to join the team. And she apologized for that, too. And he's like, I didn't take it personally.
Exactly. So it makes sense. And then you get to know, like, the real her. And you know what? I appreciate her taking her mental health and stepping away from the game.
Yeah. What about Kiwi, other best girl?
Oh, the bad girl?
The one that, like, backstabs?
Yeah, she showed up, like, this Lucy knockoff. I knew I couldn't trust her from the jump.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I? Yeah.
The way she said, she was just, like, already giving off some weird vibes. And like I said, I saw her as a Lucy knockoff. So I was like, something about you ain't right.
It's like when
she's still alive.
When one person leaves from the group, they always try to add in a new character to fill in the void, and that person ain't it. Like in Naruto, when Sasuke leaves the village, there's this bitch named what's his name? Saru? I forget his name, whatever. Starts with an S. He sucks. And he's an artist, by the way, and his ninjutsu is drawing on a paper and then being like, and it flies off of it and shit, and it's like these ink animals that kill
you. That would be your ninjutsu.
No, it wouldn't. That'd be your ninjutsu.
You anyways, like to draw. You draw more than me.
You like to draw. Okay, shut up. Anyways, like, he looked like Sasuke, and he had dark black hair, but he was like super, like, Kmart version of Sasuke, and he was like super unemotional. Yeah. And Naruto's like, I don't trust this bitch. And Sakura's like, I don't like him either. Because they both loved Sasuke and they missed him. And Kakashi was like, well, we need a third person. So I need you to shut up. but he was, his name's Sai. S-A-I. And nobody liked him because he just gave off, like, why should we trust you? And he was always, like, weirdly emotionally distant and would, like, antagonize Naruto. Anyways, what I'm saying is our main crew didn't trust him after Sasuke left. And in this show, seeing Lucy leave and then, like, a Kmart version of her come in, like, I was like, yeah, I don't like you already.
It's like we got the same stoic runner, and I'm just like, I don't know you. It took me 4 episodes to trust Lucy. You think I'm going to trust you?
Yeah. When Lucy made me trust her and then played me.
You're like, and Lucy's cuter.
And then instead, I'm just getting a depressed Lucy walking around butt-ass naked.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I don't like Buff David. They kept the same face. I didn't like him getting swole.
Yeah, it kind of looked like that dog meme of the Shiba Inu who's like really fat.
That's what I thought there. Like, I forgot that it's that possible for him to get buffed that fast. I was definitely like, there's a time skip. He got
buffed. For the social media, you should get that dog meme and put his face on it.
Oh my gosh.
And like make a post saying that.
I know. Yeah, they didn't do anything to his face to make him look any more mature. Like, for example, Maine had, like the way they drew his anime eyes were, like, you know, an older man in his, like, 50s. Like, they just didn't change anything. He had the same fucking face.
And there were times when he was animated that he still looked like old David, like, because of how quick he was moving or something. So, like, his buffness would come and go.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk about our man Maine that died.
Yeah, I was about to ask that one exactly next.
Because his face has me dead every time.
I think it's funny that the one Mariah is thirsting for is Maine.
I know. I was like,
I was just, you know, it's a bummer to see him go.
We had David needed Mufasa to die.
Yeah, like, I knew he was going to die. It was very much, like, a given, foreshadowed.
I think,
like,
you literally called it in the last podcast. You said, I'm calling it now.
I called it.
Kinsey called a lot of things. I called one thing. I said, my only prediction is that he's about to die.
And I said, I agree. I said, his fucking hands keep fucking up.
You agree with Rye's prediction is not you coming up with the prediction.
Kinsey, what are your predictions? Kinsey gave a list of like 5 or 8 predictions, and one of them was that he was going to die.
Okay.
And then I said, my only prediction is I think our man's going to die soon.
All right.
I love being right.
Anyway,
I can't see my fingers.
I think that his death was very dramatic, which I really appreciated. It was so hard to watch. It really was.
That episode was so horrific. The person
that he was with that died?
Dorio.
His
gang wife.
Yeah.
We don't know if they were legally married, but they were
four-lifers. The way they were acting.
Might have been a short life.
I loved them so much. I loved both of their characters so much, so it was really rough.
It was.
I think also, the way they drew it was so to be cool characters. But yeah, the animation was like, I was pulled in.
Mm-hmm. It was terrifying. I was like, damn, dog, you chill out, man.
He was going crazy. It was so hard to watch.
You, Pookie. This ain't you.
You, Pookie.
This ain't you, Pookie, please.
When I go cyber psycho, I want Kaylin to say that to me to talk me back out.
You, Pookie.
Why is that like the best media?
That's how she was, though. Like, she was, like, with him to the end. She's like, I love you. And he's like, wow, kills her.
Wait, I don't think he killed her. I think the police killed her from behind. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And then he went fucking crazy.
That's what I would do if someone killed Kinsey, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Like, Mari, this isn't you, Pookie, please.
It was intense. I really enjoyed the whole sequence. I think that I enjoyed that better than the ending.
Yeah. Yeah. So Adam Slasher, by the way, is a video game boss, I believe, from the video games. So I think it's interesting that, like, David doesn't beat him, because technically, like, I think you're supposed to fight him in, like, the video games. Now, I don't know the video game lore, so if I'm misquoting it any bit, like, don't be mad, kids. I'm not a professional. But, like I said, this is just a story in this universe. Like, there's other characters, other stories that, like, they fight Adam Slasher. So I just think it's interesting that, like, he doesn't win. Now, I'm not saying it's a great ending, but it's, like, he went up against basically a video game boss.
Yeah, it's, like, his origin story.
Interestingly enough, like, they are similar in a lot of ways. Like, you heard him say, like, you know, Adam was a lot like David in being able to handle that much, like, cyber, like, tech. But they couldn't control David. Like, they have control over Adam.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, you kind of... The problem with, like, David's death is you kind of see it coming. And it, like, happened very quickly. And,
oh, yeah, he was running off the fucking cliff.
I'm a crier. I cry at stuff. And I'm watching it, and I was like, why do I not have an emotional connection to this? And I was like, let me lock back in. I'm watching this, and I'm like, I did get kind of emotional when they're showing the flashbacks, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of shocked. Usually I get worked up.
Well, I think the reason why I wasn't that sad is because from the beginning, I even said this in our last video, I really always felt like David had already given up on life. Like, it genuinely felt like he didn't have the will to live. Even right before his mom died. So, like, every upgrade, I didn't really feel like it was him gaining happiness or contentness in life. Mari, quit that.
So sorry, I don't know why I was doing that.
You're so gross. Anyways,
No, we have audio listeners. I was not doing anything gross. I was just making a weird face.
Oh, no, yeah, it was gross. I'm kidding. Anyways,
he's being a mean gay, like, this Pride Month.
It felt like I've heard stories of people that fall in love with, and I'm just going to compare this to this, like, people who are severely, like, going down a drug addict hole, right? Where they're, like, not really coming out of it. But, like,
there's a lot of parallels in the story with that,
too. There's still people, obviously, and, like, they deserve love and patience and kindness, obviously. And you can see that with Lucy and all the friends that he makes. But I think that he had gotten to a place mentally where he had totally just, he didn't want to live. And I think he was looking for short-term happiness and enjoyment, and that's why I feel like he got himself into so many situations where he wasn't thinking that, on top of the fact that he was already a young dumb kid. But, like, he watched his mom die and he came from a poor background. Like, I mean, it's a very realistic thing. Mm-hmm. It's a really realistic timeline in the sense of some people who come from really fucked up backgrounds like that really struggle in life, because it's not just about the physical things you go through, like not having enough money, watching people die. It's like, how did it affect you? Because how it affects you can affect how you make future decisions and choices.
Yeah, I mean, he even said like when he was dying that, you know, he was like, I didn't care about what I wanted to do. This is all for you, Lucy, basically.
Dead ass. Mm-hmm. Suicidal.
It's, yeah.
It was completely self-destructive. I mean, can you agree with me on this? Because, I mean, people argue all the time about art, like, you know, what is art and shit like that. I look at the show and the story as, like, obviously very metaphorical to, like, a capitalistic, you know, society relying on robots going way too far, way too wrong. Almost very, like, Black Mirror. And, like, yes, David's stupid, but, like, even you said it yourself. It's, like, it's not that unrealistic for someone to go that self-destructive when they didn't really have a good setup that, like, I'm not saying it was, like, great to watch, but I would disagree that it's ass.
No, when I say it's ass, like, let me explain this, because I feel the same way about Devilman Crybaby. I thought it was a good ending. I don't like the ending, because even though I just said, sure, it's realistic for a majority of people to fall down that rabbit hole, it's incredibly sad to see that. And I'm the kind of person that believes, like, the glass is half full. And, like, you can come out of that through, like, support systems and being around the right people. Do you know what I'm saying? And I don't feel like David was in the right group of people. Like, sure, they were nice, but they were literally thieving from people. Not that thieving in that world was really that big of a deal considering corporations were taking over. But if you look at someone like Lucy, who is like, I want to get away from this. Like, the only way to, like, kind of keep my sanity is to not be in a city like this, to try to leave as far as possible. And I think she had a lot of points, because it was a lose-lose situation. You were either going to be the corporate greed and fuck over lives while you live happily, but also addicted to crazy shit since you have so much money. Or you were going to be the bottom of the barrel, like, living on any ecstasy that you possibly could before you lose your life. Like, she saw the world for what it was, and that's why she was trying to leave. And David, I don't think, understood that, because he had already given up on life. So when I see endings like this, no matter how much I want to say it's realistic, I don't like to watch stories like that too much, because I believe that there's hope at the end of the tunnel, and it gets me sad, because I'm just like, you should only have so much of a dose of that kind of story so often. That's why when I first watched Devilman Crybaby and the last time I ever watched it, I was like, I'll never watch this again. Like, I don't care how realistic the story ending was. I do not like, I don't know, pushing that kind of energy on anybody. You know, I'm just like, you should always hope for the best, even up till your last dying breath, I think.
Yeah, I didn't think the ending was bad. I was just, my only gripe was that I predicted it and that I didn't see the chemistry between them. So I didn't feel like I had the emotional capacity, emotional connection with the two characters with the ending that I would have in another occasion.
I agree. I think the storytelling could have been better with the pacing. Like, I could predict everything, and the chemistry wasn't good enough.
Yeah, but
the visuals and the
visuals were amazing whenever they fought and everything, and
the themes, like with like corporate greed and like addictions and stuff, amazing, right?
I ate that up.
You know, designs were amazing. I love the characters.
Yes.
Love Lucy's design.
Yeah, Trigger Studio's crazy.
I will be drawing Lucy soon.
I'm glad you guys like her character. I mean, she's very well designed.
Caitlin was like, y'all love Rebecca. And then Ryan and I were like, we like Lucy.
Yeah.
I like Rebecca. Nice. I think she's awesome. I loved how much she was like there for David, but like, I liked her design a lot too.
Yeah, it was still really cool.
No, again, I think all the character designs are really cool.
I don't know what else.
Whenever I think about Devilman Crybaby, I literally want to punch a wall. And that main character was so nice, too. He was actually a lot better than David.
Yeah.
And it makes me so sad watching that ending. I'm like,
you know, I respect your not liking stories like that. I don't. I'm not the kind of person where I'm going to go and watch it, like, 100 times, like, or even, like, more than once. But I like them. When I get through, I'm like, wow, that was sad. Like, I don't know.
That's why I have to watch them once in a while, because like I said, that tiny inch of me is like, yeah, of course that's realistic. I see stories end like that in real life, right? So I like being kind of like how I don't like how Disney only writes about like good love or like this idealistic love that would never happen anyways, because then when you got out into the real world, like, you were like, oh, I can't just meet somebody and say I love them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was too idealistic.
You should be exposed to both realities, good and bad realities, because that is reality. But also, like,
but it's
of course, I'm going to watch Cinderella 5 times and I'm going to watch, like, Romeo and Juliet once.
Like, think of it as, like, an extremity that, like, Cinderella, the way they talk about love, like, just finding somebody that easily and just marrying them right away is, like, very unhealthy mindset. It's very, like, bad for young and upcoming girls, like, stuff like that. So, like, when I watch things like this, the reason why I have to watch them in such a small amount is, like, sure, it's realistic for things to end bad, but if you're watching it all the time, you're gonna think that that's how things should be half the time or all the time if it's so realistic. You know, I don't like that. I think it's just as bad of an extreme.
Has a Scorpio moon, so she loves that shit.
I think Kaylin likes the feeling of watching the bad
intensity of it.
And I'm like, that's what I like about them, which is why I like Attack on Titan. I like the intensity, you know?
Yeah, that one, talk about sad ending. Talk about sad ending.
Like, so, like, for example, this was 10 episodes, so I feel like, as beautiful as it was, it's like, you know, the producers aren't investing that much in it, but, like, they didn't miss a fucking page or a chapter in Attack on Titan. I think when you give it a lot of time, even a sad ending or a sad story, like, can be so fucking impactful.
You're right. I think if Cyberpunk was more than 10 episodes, I think that it could have provided more character development and character understanding, which would have added emotional capacity.
You know what it is about Attack on Titan, why I will continue to rewatch it, is because it still has good in it. Even though there's the sad ass ending that I will not spoil right now, there is still so many good moments. There's so many reasons to keep living and to keep going.
Levi Ackerman does exist. So. Exactly.
And I think I have this overall theme with stories that, like, I want them to still teach people that there is a reason to live. Because when stories do not, like Devilman Crybaby, that show will not make you feel like you should fight for anything.
Yeah.
And I just don't like that extremity. I don't think it's good.
You're right. Attack on Titan very much, despite the bad, always has good with it. There's always, like, a purpose with it.
Well, they were trying to pull off a bird touching the scarf scene on the moon for Lucy. They were trying to get us, but we didn't like David.
I think this show had, like, first of all it had all the ingredients. It really could have been a story that was, like, more impactful if it had more time. You know what I'm saying? More character development.
It's like a prequel to the video game. It's kind of like how Arcane exists within the world of
Arcane, yeah.
Whatever game that is.
Dude, they're coming out with
what game is that, Caitlin?
It's a League, I'm pretty sure.
But this, so, like, it's like that. Like, Arcane is a little story within that world. So Cyberpunk is a story within this world. So if I was to play the game, would it be, like, a very similar vibe of the show that I just watched?
What's interesting is, like, have you seen any visuals from the video game at all?
No.
So it's not anime. It's, like, realistic. Like, think almost, like, you know how, like, in most video games, like GTA or Call of Duty, they're, like, 3D people? That's this.
Ew.
Interesting.
That's disgusting. I do not like 3D realistic games anymore. Like, they have to have, like, a stylistic to them. Because I'm like, why would I, like, I don't want to feel like I'm really shooting real people. I want to shoot, like, little colorful creatures. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you, you know?
You got a point. That's why the only shooter game I've ever, like, gotten into, because I've never liked any of them I played growing up, was Fortnite. Because the deaths are literally, like, you disappear into pixels.
Yeah, it feels so much more fantasy, even though the guns are really realistic and sometimes scares me. It just doesn't feel as, like, legit.
That's why I didn't like the update where they were starting to make things look too realistic. It's like, if I wanted to go play Call of Duty, I'd play Call of Duty.
I didn't list in the army.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm kidding.
I'll redeem them. They started bringing back more, like, fantasy stuff, like when they brought back the Greek god stuff. Yeah. But, like, when they first updated it, I was like, what is this forest? I feel like I'm, like, running away from, like, a North Korean army. Like, what's going on?
Oh, my God. I keep getting videos about that kind of stuff. Anyways. It's been really stressing me out, dude.
Gosh. Yeah, no, I think they should do stuff like this more often on the video game take of, like, making a show for it, but I'd like to see maybe someone else's reality in the cyberpunk world. Like, I liked the world that much that I would like to see other stories within it.
I think Colin told me one time that they were supposed to make more stories about different people, but he was telling me, like, so in this story, we saw, like, the poverty level, but there was, like, other parts of the world that weren't as, like, touched upon.
Yeah.
And when I tried asking Colin about it, he's, like, I almost feel like he forgot, like, he said that because he couldn't give me an answer for that. But I think it would be cool if they kind of did that, like, it's the same world, but, like, different stories.
Yeah, I mean, just like Arcane's doing, that's exactly what they're doing after this season, is adding a new character.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, Caleb, but this next season is the end of Jinx's story.
And yeah, and it really hurts me. It really emotionally hurts me that I'm not going to see my homegirl ever again.
I think they're going to kill Jinx. And they should.
You know, I'm okay with that as long as... Caitlin, what's her name?
Oh, you're talking about Vi and Caitlin.
Vi is too hot to die.
Dude.
Yeah, when you're that, when you serve that much cunt, you're not allowed to die.
Mm-hmm. Man, I feel so sad for their story because, like, she was just being a jerk kid sister over a really intense situation. And, like, the way that she cares for her sister. Now, this has become about Arcane, everyone. Also, we're she's hella hot game. And gay.
Yeah. I like Jinx's character a lot. She's really cool.
I like Jinx, too.
I like how fucking crazy she is.
Oh my gosh.
I love a good female rage, bro.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's way scarier than any male rage I've ever seen in my entire life.
She's a female cray. She, like, legitimately got some screws loose.
She's so hot, though.
It's okay. We'll talk about Arcane when it comes out. I know we will, because we all loved it.
So is it my turn to share?
Yeah, Kinsey, what would you like to share next week?
We're going to watch Bridgerton Season 1.
How many episodes are in the first season?
All of it.
Eight episodes. They're all like an hour long. It's 8 hours. No,
Kinsey, what the fuck?
It's easy. You don't even, it's not like anime where you have to be watching. Like, you can just put it on.
No, I don't have much time to sit in front of a television.
Don't look at me like that. Well, hopefully Mai will like it and she'll just keep watching.
look up real quick. No, what is it end on?
Well, I also get really stressed when we record episodes when you both have watched the whole damn show and we're only talking about so many episodes because you guys are like talking about things I don't know what's happening.
So then you watch the show.
I don't have time to watch the show.
We'll just talk about what is covered with what you watch, okay? I need you to get to season 2 because, Mariah, when I tell you it is so enemies to lovers, I'm telling you this from, I heard normies were watching the show. No offense to normies if you guys are listening.
Normie's not going to know.
I'll say right now, my friend Liza is the normiest, most normie, and she watches the show and she obsesses over it. Like, it's the best thing in the world. But she also reads books that are like fucking Wattpad smut, so I couldn't watch it.
But Wattpad
smut. This is back when Liza was the only person telling me to watch.
Wattpad smut can be good sometimes.
Yeah, just but like, not when you're discovering it at 25.
Oh yeah, I mean, I haven't read anything that's impressed me then since. But like, I'm just saying.
Yeah, like there's a difference when I discovered it. You didn't discover fucking what's that Colleen Hoover book that everyone loves that is about fucking domestic violence? Like Liza's reading that shit.
Okay, it's not that. I swear. Like,
yes, I understand.
You know how people watch Grey's Anatomy and it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
I was going into this with that mindset. I was like, is this gonna be like the girlies that watch Grey's Anatomy? And I was like, whatever, I'm gonna give it a chance. First 3 episodes of the show, I was like, you know, this isn't really good, but I love the fashion and the acting. Like, everything was there. I just wasn't seeing any romance that I actually liked yet.
Yeah.
And season 1, I have to admit, as a whole, and everybody says this about the show, it's just not as romantic. It's still good, but it's just not. It's not season 2. Season 2 is like midnight poppy land shit, okay? When it was good.